This is Ashley Hodge with the Sikkim 365 podcast, and I'm joined by John Jakus, one of the assistant basketball coaches for Baylor men's basketball. And we're going to talk about LJ Crier on this podcast, and we'll talk about Zach Loveday on the podcast that we'll do right after this one. So, John, first of all, thank you for taking time to do this. How are things going with the team so far?
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me. I think our team is just excited to be together. And we've slowly, through our bubble, kind of worked our way up from small groups to 2-on-2, 3-on-3, 4-on-4, and now we're able to play a little 5-on-5. And I think there were 6 months between our last 5-on-5 and then the most current 5-on-5. I just never thought we would go 6 months without playing 5-on-5 basketball in a practice.
Right.
So it feels a little bit like Christmas, not only just to be in the gym with our guys, but to be around the guys we have. We got great players, and they've been very mature with all this, and just watching them play has been an absolute joy.
Well, so LJ Crier is going to be the focus of this podcast, and we got a guy coming to Baylor that's averaged over 34 points a game in high school. He can score the ball with relative ease. I know college is a totally different situation, but I've heard through the grapevine that, you know, he is coming to Baylor as prepared of a guard as we've ever had as a freshman. Of course, he's got four outstanding guards that he's competing with for playing time. And, you know, it may be a situation where he just has to use this year to, really get good and hone his skills and then shine in the future. But what have you seen from him so far from a skill level, from a work ethic standpoint? What have been your observations?
Well, you started off by saying he averaged over 30 points a game in high school, and I can assure you that wasn't by accident. He's remarkable when it comes to putting the ball in the hole. And, you know, you judge guards. Are they able to make an uncontested three at 40%? He can certainly do that. Can they make a contested one? You know, do they have the guts to handle pressure? And he can do that also. And then as you get deeper into their career, can they make that three off the dribble when people either go under the ball screen or, you know, they're climbing up in them? And his ability to make that three off the dribble at his age is something that you don't always get at our level. And when you add some of his ability to finish at the rim and how fast he is, I think we watched him in high school. I saw him in Las Vegas. I saw him with AAU teams he played with. He is fast. And I know he had a little bit of a ankle issue at time on and off his last 2 years in high school, but when you've got to guard him at the three-point line and close out, and then he is always two dribbles from that rim or floater, his ability to score has been really special. And then you just add on top of that, he can pass in a ball screen and make the reads that our older guys make almost instantaneously as he's coming to practice. And between his ability to score off the bounce against somebody like Davion's pressure and then his ability to read rotations at such a young age in our ball screen offense, he for sure is coming in ready to play at the high major Division I level.
So I've heard that, you know, these are have been the critiques of him from people that know him well. One was that he can be a little bit reckless. One guy that watched him in Houston for years said, you know, my biggest concern with him is him staying healthy, because he says he has a little bit of like this Allen Iverson, just no fear, you know, throw his body into harm's way. Now, from recent pictures I've seen, he looks like he's really worked hard on his body and getting strong. You know, have you seen that? Have you seen some strength gains from the time he was in high school to now? I mean, what have been your observations as far as that particular critique?
Yeah, I don't know that we want to predict injuries.
Sure.
I think he's healthy now.
Right.
And from a day to day, I think that's where our mind is at. If you go from last year to this year and his summer, when he walked on campus and we met him at his new apartment with his parents and we helped moving him in, you know, just like you do with all freshmen, they go through that processor phase in their life. He certainly looks bigger, longer, stronger than he did just 2 years ago. And so there is a strengthening and a developing that probably finished in his maturity. even after his senior year. And you like to see that in your players. You know, you don't want them to hit their ceiling physically. And I don't think he's even done that yet. I think there's room for him to grow. And then even as he's come in better shape than maybe, you know, I'm not sure who said that about his ankle or some things in the past, even as he's come in better shape than I think that assessment, you know, he still hasn't gotten that full summer, that full fall with Coach Charlie that our freshmen normally get.
Right.
So I think as fast as he is a really solid low center of gravity, and his ability to like stop and shift and change directions and speed and then land squarely on his feet. I mean, I think he's fine. I think he'll be extremely successful. And then when you add our trainer and Coach Charlie's regimen to him, I think there's only upside in him. And so, you know, when people go through injuries, there's always a wonder of, will they remain that way? I don't see that with LJ. I see a really spirited, confident, strong young guard who's figuring out how to use his body to his advantage. And we've seen growth in that area even in the last 2 months with him. So I think we're probably pleased more than anything, not scared at all, but more pleased with his ability to handle his body, especially against, you know, bigger athletes than he might have faced in high school.
So I had this conversation with Coach Tang about Adam Flagler. We did a podcast on Adam last week. And, you know, Coach Tang made the observation. He said Adam, you know, came in a really good player. I mean, obviously averaged 16 points a game at the Division I level as a freshman. But he said, you know, it was like January to where all of a sudden it was like, whoa, you know, this guy has taken a huge step. And now if you don't bring your A game, you're talking about, you know, Jared, Maceo, Davion, Adam's going to embarrass you in practice all game, all day long. And so, you know, I would think with LJ, you know, one of the biggest benefits for his future development, and it's probably hard for any player to see this, you know, they, especially if they come to, you know, school ready to play and have the skill level to do this, but just going and practice against Mitchell and Butler and Teague and Flagler every day, I mean, it's you know, like Jared Butler probably got tremendously better going against Mitchell and Teague every day in practice, and Flagler last year got better going against those guys, and now, you know, Cryer's going to go against players that are probably going to be better than the ones he goes against in games. I mean, you know, how important is that to a player's development, and what have you seen from these other guards as far as that's concerned in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think we tend to predict timelines. You know, we say a junior college player sometimes takes a semester. You can look at Jared Butler's first semester at Baylor and say it took him that semester to become a Big 12 ready starter and player. And then you saw how he took off his second semester at Baylor his freshman year. You know, he had 31 at Kansas and the light bulb went on. And I think when you get into individual scouting reports, sometimes you can get lost in who's who, who's going to play, how much they're going to play. And for us, because we have five unbelievably good guards, it's how do they play together? And you could see us play at times last year and get lost in over dribbling. I mean, actually, if you're being honest, there's probably times where that it was plain for people to see. You could see at times that because our guards are so good, they believe they can get away with things that they don't need to get away with because they have people around them where the ball movement would be better than their individual dominance. And I'll say this, one of the things I love about LJ Cryer is there are moments where you put him in and you watch him in practice and you think I should be judging him individually, but there isn't a judgment to be made.
Right.
Because he makes the guards around him better. And I don't know when someone's going to say LJ's good, but I'm going to tell you right now, he is good.
Right.
And I don't think we need a timeline to make that clear. He's a good player. We are lucky to have him. We are blessed that he is at Baylor. And the speed at which the five guys get along with each other and share the ball and understand that ball movement's better than dribbling, we're going to be good and we're going to be just fine. And to LJ's credit, he helps us in that category. And that's something that all five of them need to help each other with and help the group with and then help the whole staff with. And so for us, it's how can we use what LJ is great at, and then how can the guys he plays with either be bettered by him or include him?
Right.
And, you know, it's our job to bring them together. But I have no doubt that as an individual, he can play at this level. He's going to be really, really good.
Defensively, what have you seen? Like, that's usually the biggest transition for freshmen is figuring it out on the defensive end. And obviously, we got four guys that are really good defenders in Flagler, Teague, Butler, and Mitchell. You know, particularly Mitchell's one of the best defenders in the country. Vital, obviously, is as well. Mm-hmm. So what have you seen from LJ from a competitiveness and just a willingness to get better defensively?
Yeah, you start practice and you're only allowed to do drills, you know, and then you work your way into one-on-one, and then you work your way into two-on-two. And when you're playing one-on-one and two-on-two, you're asking the guards to guard each other in 50 feet of space. And I'm just going to be honest, Davion's the best on-ball defender guard in the country. He's definitely not outside of the top two if you talk about Marcus Garrett.
Right.
He is an excellent defender. But try to guard Adam and Jared and LJ in 50 feet of space. So to start off, LJ had to guard some of the best guards in the country in 50 feet of space in practice.
Right.
And that's a big challenge. That's a difficult thing to do. And the best thing about LJ is that he would get mad and he would get better. And I'm not saying that it was perfect or easy, but it wasn't easy for any of them to guard each other
right.
in that amount of space. You're not guarding Jared Butler with 50 feet of space. It's not happening. He's too good. You need help. You need people in gaps. And so for LJ, as he got over that and we started building into 3-on-3 and 4-on-4 and 5-on-5, it's going to come down to, can he memorize 3 or 4 ball screen coverages? Can he realize his X outs and rotations? How often will he put his chest on the defender when they dribble? Is he willing to hit and crack down on Mark and John when they're not looking and try to make sure they don't get the rebound? And because of his competitiveness and because of his basketball IQ, he will get there. But you're right. You're learning a certain level of ball screen coverage and rotations that just don't necessarily happen at the high school level. And as he learns those things, he'll continue to improve. But he's certainly fast enough and strong enough in his legs and in his chest to be a good defender. He's just got to buy in, and we've got to do a good job holding him accountable. But I think he'll get there, and I think it's good for him. And the more we get to 5-on-5 and the more help he has and the more he knows how to use that help, the more he'll grow. So right now I think we just need to be in a growth mindset with him, and he's been excellent that way.
So you got me intrigued when you talk about his speed. You know, Davion, I think, is one of the fastest guys in the country from baseline to baseline. And, you know, is LJ in that neighborhood? I mean, what, you know, with the ball in his hands, is he – some guys are faster. Like Jared, I think, would probably be faster with the ball in his hands than you know, maybe if it was just a straight sprint. But, I mean, what do you think, you know, in terms of, you know, pure speed that you've noticed?
LJ is fast with the ball in his hands, and he's fast with the ball outside of his hands. And I would love to make it fancier than that for you, Ashley, but both things are true.
Right.
And the thing that makes him faster with the ball in his hands, which is something all our guys have to continue to work on, is to learn when to change their speeds and when to be fast and when to be slow.
Right.
And LJ, I would say, you said it earlier that he's coming in more ready than some other guards have in the past, and his ability to pass and change his speeds are probably two of the reasons. It doesn't just come down to whether you can shoot or whether you can score. It comes down to little understandings in those areas. And so I love his speed. I think our whole staff loves his speed. He's fast. But it's the change of speed that goes, man, he got a chance to really, really get it.
Right.
That's been excellent.
Well, you got me excited. I'm sure the people listening to this podcast are going to get excited as well. You've been listening to a Sikkim 365 podcast. This one focused on LJ Crier, and we're going to do another one on Zach Loveday, Sikkim Bears.